This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of October 2014. It's USDA Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and their reaction to the WASDE and crop production figures with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. I'll summarize those reports for you, and then we'll talk with Ben Pruse. He's at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility about the cash grain market, of course. And as we close out the half hour, we'll discuss the weather forecast for the weekend with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished in Chicago. December corn futures today down 10¾ cents at the final trade, $3.34. The settlement price, March contract at $3.46¾, 11 cents lower. May corn at $3.55¾, down 10¾ in July at $3.63¾, 10¼ cents lower. December contract of next year, $3.81¾, down 8¼ cents. November beans today, $9.22½, 19½ cents lower. January futures at $9.30½, down 19½, and the March down 19¾ at $9.38¾. May beans, $9.47, 19¾ lower. July at $9.53¾, down 20¼. Next year's November, 20 cents lower at $9.44 on its settlement price. Bean meal futures finished $3.39.30, up $6.30. Bean oil at $32.28, 60 cents lower on the day. July soft red winter wheat at $5.22¾ cents, up 3¼ cents. Live cattle futures in the October contract at $164.90, finished 90 cents higher. December futures at $165.30, down 57½. October feeders were down $1.15 at $240.50, and the November contract at $239.20, down $2.32½. October lean hogs today a nickel lower at $109.45. December futures at $94.40, down $1.22½. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. Not longer after it airs on our radio stations, that's at willag.org. It's willag.org. Now here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. Crude oil futures, $85.73 a barrel, down 40 cents, or rather down 4 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.25¼, that's 2 cents lower. Ethanol futures are at $1.59½ per gallon. They're up 0.6 cents. In the November contract, and natural gas at $3.85¢. That's $0.01¢ higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.56 is 2¾¢ higher. November gold futures at $1,221.20 an ounce, finished $3.60 lower. The U.S. dollar at 85.91 is now down 0.39 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area today, isolated showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 59 degrees. Northeast winds this afternoon at 10 miles an hour. There is a 20% chance of rainfall tonight, cloudy and a low of 40 with a north-northeast wind at 8 to 10, gusting to 16. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 59 degrees on a northeast wind at 6 to 8. And then tomorrow evening, that's Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 42. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy and a high in the area of 59 degrees on an east-southeast wind at 7 to 10. That 40% chance of showers continues right into Sunday night when it will be cloudy with a low of just 53 degrees. On Columbus Day, showers and thunderstorms, the high Monday of 69 with an 80% chance of rainfall. Showers are likely Monday night. Cloudy skies and 51. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 58. Tuesday evening, the showers continue but dissipate, mostly cloudy and 43. And by the time we get to Wednesday, the sun finally comes out, a high of 61 degrees, Wednesday night clear, and 44. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll hear from Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of October. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. In a moment, we'll go through a summary of this morning's USDA crop production and WASDE reports. That'll take about 3 minutes. And then we'll discuss all of those numbers with our regular Friday afternoon analyst, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Illinois corn farmers were already on track to harvest their best crop ever, and USDA says it's even better now than it was just a month ago. It raised the average corn yield for Illinois 6 bushels to the acre. It now stands at a breathtaking, record-setting 200 bushels to the acre average statewide in Illinois. The rest of the nation didn't quite keep up that pace, but the crop as a whole is about 1 percentage point bigger than it was in September, some 14.5 billion bushels strong. It's an astounding 4% larger than the last fall's number one record setter. Based on conditions, as of October the 1st, nationwide corn yields expected to average 174.2 bushels to the acre. That's 2.5 bushels better than September, 15.4 bushels to the acre better than last year. If realized, this will be the highest yield and production on record for the United States. That's an oddity when both of those happen. Area harvested for grain is forecast at 83.1 million acres, down a percentage point from September, and down 5 points from last year. So, by the way, corn acreage updates were made in several states following a thorough review of all the data available. It means this year's corn harvest is 4 percentage points larger than last year's on 5 percentage points fewer harvested acres. Projected U.S. corn use for the 14-15 marketing year, up 50 million bushels on higher expected feed and residual disappearance. That's driven, of course, by the larger crop, higher projected meat production, and lower prices. Corn ending stocks raised some 79 million bushels to 2.081 billion. Let me repeat that number, the ending stocks at 2.081 billion bushels. The projected range for the season's average farm price is lower 10 cents on each end and now ranges from $3.10 to $3.70 per bushel cash. The soybean crop, well, it's pretty good too. It's a record setter at 3.93 billion bushels to be harvested, up slightly from September and 17% from last year. And based on the October 1 conditions, yields are expected to average a record high 47 one-point bushels to the acre, up a half a bushel from last month, 3.1 bushels better than last year. The area for harvest in the U.S. is forecast at a record 83.4 million acres. That's down about a percentage point from September, but up 9% from last year. Like the corn, acreage updates for soybeans were made in several states based on a thorough review of all of the available data. That language comes from the USDA report. It may suggest USDA has more work to do on the acreage adjustment front. Soybean supplies for the 14-15 marketing year projected at some 24 million bushels below last month, with lower beginning stocks from the grain stocks report, that 92 million bushel number we've heard about, more than offsetting the increased production. Soybean ending stocks are projected at 450 million bushels. That's an important number. The ending stocks for soybeans now stands at 450 million bushels. That's 25 million bushels less than it was last month. Prices for soybeans, soybean oil, and soybean meal, however, remain unchanged. The season's average cash price for soybeans ranges from $9 to $11. Turn our attention now to some analysis of those numbers that came in from USDA this morning. On the phone line for this Friday afternoon, the 10th day of October, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning or good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Todd. Good afternoon to you too, sir.
Well, let's go back through some of the numbers maybe, and more importantly, what happened in Chicago, because the numbers weren't that much different than the trade expected, maybe a little bit lower than most had thought. However, bean futures failed by 20 cents today. Why was that the case?
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where it looked pretty bad after the report, and we did have a really nice buy signal set up on the weekly Bloomberg Grain Index chart heading into today's report. And so from that respect, Todd, it was a disappointing close. I would say, though, we were still up for the week. It could have been better, but we still had the second closing higher in 2 weeks for the corn. And if you exclude doing that in early August, that we did just for 2 weeks in early August, we hadn't been able to do that since February. So if you take a step back after the close and look at the weekly charts and the weekly numbers, it's not as bad as how we closed. Having said that, I was disappointed with the soybeans because even though the low trade guess out there was 376 million bushels, that was only one analyst, and the next closest was 420 million bushels. And when you look at the numbers in depth on the beans, that 450 number was a low number, and USDA kept the average price the same. They kept South American production unchanged, and they kept Chinese imports unchanged, didn't lower them like the ag attaché did earlier this week. And so when you had 5 of 22 private estimates at or below where USDA came in today, you would have expected the beans to have a little bit better price action. But I think, quite frankly, the stocks-to-use ratios and the global stocks numbers just did not let the market trade any of the demand or trade any of the harvest weather, for that matter.
So tell me about the stocks-to-use ratios, both on the national and international levels.
Yeah, in the soybeans, we'll start there. We did go from 13.2% last month down to 12.5%, but the soybean ending stocks globally did increase from 31.6 to almost 32%. So I think that's what offset a lot of the friendliness of the soybeans. In the corn, we went from a 14.7% U.S. stocks to use to 15.2%. And I think that hurt the corn. I think also we saw a lower export forecast for Japan, and I think that was not expected, and the trade did not like that much at all. The corn ending stocks, stocks to use globally stayed the same, while the coarse grains inched up to about 18%, or about 0.2% higher. It was really the wheat that was able to see the best numbers on both sides of the ledger, dropping down to 30.5%. on the stocks to use domestically and dropping down below 27% globally. So we're only about 0.6% from where we were last year when it comes to the world wheat stocks to use. And that's a very, I think, supportive feature to the corn market as we work into harvest.
So on the global front, where is it that things changed in the soybeans? Because we don't have from September to October change in either Argentine soybeans or Brazilian soybeans and their production rate.
That's exactly right. And you didn't get much of a demand change. In fact, you saw China's crush numbers go up a little bit. So really the only thing you saw was the U.S. Production numbers show up the most in today's report, and the exports came down just a hair. But last month we were at 90.17 on the ending stocks for soybeans. This month we came in at 90.67, so we just jumped up about a half a million tons.
Yeah, so honestly, that appears to be maybe good news across, because it, and I'm just thinking backwards, that the $10, $11, and $12 beans did not appear to cause producers in South America to plant more bean acres than we really thought were going to be there to begin with.
This is the thing that I think is important going forward. You bring up a huge point. I think they intended to, but I think between their political issues, their inflationary issues in Argentina, the presidential election in Brazil, and the talk of Brazil's politicians and government taking more control of the agriculture industry, not unlike Argentina, and then throwing on top of that a drier weather bias that started to show up in late September in northern Brazil, especially in Mato Grosso. I think you have these things that have detracted from jumping on that, let's jump, increase the bean acres and soy acres aggressively as the trade had thought. In fact, I think now more private industry analysts are probably coming back below 94 million metric tons for the Brazilian crop instead of continuing to go higher and higher. That's still a big number, though, and that's what the trade essentially said after the report came out today, was that I'm not going to be able to buy this. And I think this makes sense from a standpoint of, if you don't look at demand and you don't look at the harvest weather, it was a negative report, and so then you have to rely upon the technicals.
Okay, so again, USDA, as you mentioned earlier, kept the cash price range from $9 to $11. That hasn't changed. Does today's report do anything in your mind to change the way you think about marketing soybeans at harvest time?
Yeah, big thing that happened this week, there's two big major price trends this week ahead of this report. One was we continue to see the recoupling of the asset classes. The grains and agriculture, livestock went up while the crude oil overall commodity indices and equities went down. And so that's still a healthy inflationary bias that we saw this week, even through the Federal Reserve meeting. The second thing was the corn-bean spreading. We saw the corn gain on the beans pretty much all week long. In fact, by Wednesday, we'd hit the lowest point on the ratio for the bean-corn ratio for 2014 since July. Now, we saw that actually turn today in favor of the beans. So the flat price looked ugly in the beans, but percentage-wise, beans actually closed better than corn. I think this is where today's report helps me feel as though the beans are not going to be as much a drag, especially the domestic ending stocks won't be as much a drag on the corn and lead the corn lower. And we had talked about this last week, that that ratio was getting very high, so that if the beans went down, the corn could essentially stay flatline. If the beans would happen to turn around, that would suggest to me that you could have the corn really move in favor with the beans if the beans did decide to go back up, on whether it's harvest delays or the Brazilian planting problems that continue.
And the all-important question, of course, sell or store?
I think you have to continue to store, because one thing that this trade has not accepted is a potential harvest delay or planting problems in Brazil. But the cash market started to participate in that today and earlier in Thursday's trade as well. So the later part of this week, we saw the cash basis at the river improve because barges were not as needed, and that was because we weren't getting as much grain out of the fields. And so I think the cash market still has a better look to it from that perspective, especially as we stay wet.
And that's for soybeans?
It's for both.
For both. Okay, so there we are for both. Any other things that we ought to talk about today?
I think the only other thing I would say to you is the harvest progress numbers we probably won't get on Monday because of Columbus Day.
Right.
But we were probably, in the last year we had decent progress and didn't skip because of a government shutdown, was back in 2011. And at the time that we go into Tuesday's trade, we were at about 32% harvested in corn and 51% harvested in beans. So those are kind of the markers I'm setting down as we get to Tuesday afternoon's numbers.
Anything from the livestock side to discuss?
Well, USDA did come down on their pork production for 2014, but they kept their prices the same. They also raised the production for beef in 2014 and raised the pork in 2015. They see what the rest of us see out there in the analytical world, is that livestock feeding demand is only going to increase, and reproduction and building of herds is only going to increase at these prices for grain. So I think you do have that window of opportunity to get hedges in place in livestock, but it's quickly narrowing.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you in a bit. That, of course, is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a couple of notes as we make our way through the program today. First, be safe during the harvest season. Second, remember to buy your tickets for our Fall Farm Assets Conference at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065, or just visit our website at willag.org. You can buy your tickets online there for just $25 on the 24th day of November. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois, on the Illinois State University campus at the Marriott Hotel. Parking and lunch is included. You'll get a presentation on land values, crop insurance, and the ARC PLC program. That's three different presentations by the U of I professionals. And then, of course, all the panelists that you hear on the air here will be there for our corn, soybean, and cash grain panels. Runs from about 10 in the morning to about 5 in the evening, Central Time, just $25. Dial now, 800-898-1065 for your tickets, or buy them online at willag.org. And don't forget to stay with us for the whole hour today if you happen to be listening to our home station at WILL AM 580, or on many of these radio stations tomorrow or this afternoon on willag.org for our Commodity Week program. Our panelists today include Mike Zuzulo and Pete Manhart, along with Bill Gentry. Special guest is Jerry Goodell. We'll go through all the numbers from the USDA and look forward to what might happen in the next crop production report, and more importantly, what those ending stocks figures mean for the price of corn and soybeans over the long run. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agricultural commodities.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Friday afternoon, let's take a look at the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. That's about 500 miles from where we sit in Champaign, Illinois, and he joins us this afternoon. Hi, Ben.
Hey, afternoon, Todd.
You have farmers moving in the field today?
We actually caught about half an inch of rain on Wednesday, and that shut everything off, and we're just starting to get up and rolling here.
And tell me about the basis levels and how much grain
sure.
has moved and those sorts of things.
We just starting to see everybody's just kind of going to their all-fall bid. The quick ship values, I mean, they're just kind of hanging on, but most elevators have gone, including us, have gone to our all-fall bid. The processors, a price point that we used went from 40 over to option price in one day. So that
probably generated some not friendly phone calls, didn't it?
it was a really simple decision from our standpoint. yes, sir.
I bet. Okay, so now where do you stand? You're at 10. You're where at even, or are you 10 under?
No, heck no. We're 40 under on corn and 60 under on beans.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, holy smokes. Yeah, that was a big
change. Yeah, it's soggy at best.
Ah, very soggy. And your expectations for it to get any better?
We're starting to see, like I said, we've got a few ethanol plants. This rain set them back. We've sold some corn out through this coming Wednesday, but outside of that, then we're just off all bids, full policy.
How about for soybeans?
Soybeans, the processors maybe 10 days ago or so were really starting to bark, and they went from $3 to $1.50 to all fall bid of 35 under in a matter of about 8 days.
Mm.
So it's they really, really have started to feel satiated. And we out here today, we're probably 30-35% harvested on soybeans.
Everybody saw that USDA said Illinois was 6 bushels better at 200 bushels the acre for corn statewide today. They left Iowa at 185. Were most people thinking that's correct?
Yeah, I really do. You know, it's we're hearing some tremendous yield east of the Corn Belt, east of the Mississippi, that is. And our yields, honestly, because we have just that heavier ground, we're having just a normal crop. I mean, actually, some guys were starting to see some better bean yields than we kind of anticipated, but the heavy dirt with all the water didn't allow it to just go off. We're having, don't get me wrong, we still grow 200 bushel corn, but it's not like the 230s and 240s we're hearing over in Illinois and Indiana.
And your bids for the day are what?
We are 284, 289 cash corn and 862 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, that's Ben Pruce. He's with the Andersons out of Everly, Iowa, back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Angel Food Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, marks the traditional date for the creation of the metric system. In 1817, Christophorus Spallet was born. A Dutch meteorologist, he was among the first to observe that the wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. In 1892, Earl Dixon was born. He invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. He worked as a buyer for Johnson & Johnson, who soon began manufacturing his idea. In 1913, a dike was blown up by the U.S. engineers to complete the final stage of the Panama Canal, and the waters of the Pacific met the waters of the Atlantic. By the way, President Woodrow Wilson signaled the explosion, pressing a button in the White House, which sent a telegraph signal to Panama to trigger the dynamite charge. In 1929, Elijah McCoy died, a Canadian-born American inventor. He held a number of patents for the automatic lubrication of machinery, especially steam engines used in factories, railway locomotives, and ocean ships. And in 1933, Waldo L. Seaman received a patent on a method for making plasticized PVC, now known as vinyl. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next, the weather forecast as it comes from the Prairie Research Institute at the Illinois State Water Survey with climatologist Jim Angel.
So far, October has been both cooler and wetter than average across the state. The statewide average temperature was 56.5 degrees. That's 1.4 degrees below average. The statewide precipitation was 2.5 inches, which is well above average. The heaviest rains were in western and central Illinois between Interstate 70 and 74. Precipitation amounts there are in the range of 3 to 5 inches. Areas to the north and south received 1 to 3 inches of precipitation. According to the National Weather Service forecast, the coolest weather over the next week will be on Saturday morning with lows ranging from 30 to 35 degrees in northwestern Illinois to the low 40s in central Illinois and the mid-40s in southern Illinois. After that, we can expect overnight lows out to Thursday to remain above freezing in Illinois. Lows will be in the upper 30s and 40s in northern third of the state, mid-40s to mid-50s in central Illinois, and mid-50s to upper 50s in the southern third of the state. Daytime highs through Thursday will be in the 50s and 60s in northern and central Illinois, and in the 70s in southern Illinois. There are some chances of rain on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday before things clear out on Wednesday and Thursday. Expected totals will be in the range of 1 inch or less in northern and central Illinois and 1 to 3 inches in southern Illinois. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, go to Jim Angel for his weekly updates of the weather forecast here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for the week on the weekly changes. December corn this week finished at $3.34 a bushel, had a high of 348.5. It's low 323.25. It was up 10.75 cents for the week. July futures there finished the week at $3.63 3/4. That was up 11 cents. November beans in Chicago finished at $9.22 5. The change on the week was 10.25 cents higher. The high at $9.55, the low at $9.12 1/4. And the July futures in the bean pit finished at $9.53 3/4. That settlement was 12.5 cents higher than it was on the previous week. October bean meal at $339.30 for the week had a big week, up $31.30 for 100 pounds. And the October bean oil on the week finished at $32.28. That was a penny lower on the day. July futures from the soft red winter wheat, that would be the harvest month, that is, it had an up week, 9 cents higher. Higher at $5.59 1/4, the high at $5.64 1/2, the low at $5.49. $0.49. And livestock futures finished the lead option October on the weekly trade at $164.90, $2.50 higher. October feeder cattle at $240.50 finished 37.5 cents lower for the day. And the week, the lean hogs at $109.45 per 100 pounds. They had an up week, up $3.85. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.